We turn this afternoon to the subject, key to understanding all truth. We point out that never has it been more important for those that constitute the children of the kingdom to understand the differences between they and those that do not make up that kingdom. To think upon things sometimes that they give little reflection to, in which they operate within the capacities of the things they feel or they understand, without thinking sometimes upon all that relates to it. There is no doubt about the fact that there is a struggle on for the earth, that there's a struggle on in these United States and in this city, and that the influences that direct this struggle are divided into only two camps. There is no other area than this. There may be those you might think are in middle ground, but really they're not in middle ground. It depends on where their energies are applied, where their strengths are. There's only two forces struggling for the earth. There's only two beings involved directly, and all those that are offspring or a participant in it either find their position on one side or the other. And so I make it clear that the struggle for the earth this afternoon is between God Almighty, Yahshua incarnate, Yahweh, Jesus the Christ, and the powers of darkness, the Luciferian order, the children of Antichrist, and all of their tactics. Understanding this, then, every problem and every situation that occurs, whether it be local in this city, whether it be in Montgomery, whether it involves the VidCon and the VidMen and our position in it, every part of this struggle is directly related to the master strategies of Lucifer to take over the earth and control it, and the program of God to unseat Lucifer and deliver the kingdom into the hands of his people. Make no mistake about it, there are no other forces, there are no other objectives. Now, I point out for you, there is no middle ground. And to those who are children of the kingdom, then you are designated for tasks and responsibilities, for experiences and for awakenings. Someone might say, why awakenings? Because if every one of the children of God were awake today, there's no question what would happen. We'd cleanse America in 24 hours. If everybody knew who they were and what they were here for, there'd be a lot of people ashamed of themselves for the wasting of time in not having been getting on with this thing a long time ago. So I tell you that the most important secret force is actually perception knowledge that fills the individual so that he understandingly grasps it. And I point out to you that with this understanding comes the dedication that fills you, that causes you to know that you have no other objectives and no amount of propaganda, no amount of side instruction, no amount of the captivity over our educational system or our ecclesiastical systems are going to change you. No amount, my friends, of attempting to warp your mind to their concepts by suggesting that you're antisocial or that you're not conforming is going to change the course at all. Because you become filled with a pattern of realization that stems out of God, who's going to win and who's going to accomplish his purposes and whose area of contact and directivity with you is in the seat of consciousness. I point out, therefore, that there are certain things that always we must understand and we must know. This has been one of those historic weeks in which we have watched the powers of darkness seek to go ahead roughshod by decree or by dictatorship or by invasion of individual rights or by the suppression of the people that make up the great heart of God's kingdom in these United States. Let me tell you this, whether Mr. Johnson understands this or not, as president, God Almighty only recognizes one people with right and title to the United States of America, and that's the white Christians that are his household, his offspring. God Almighty, in evaluating the security of those involved in the struggle for the earth, is only considering, first and foremost, one people. The powers of darkness that are seeking to engulf the world to destroy us have one major objective: your destruction, enslavement, absorption, integration, mongrelization, and suppression. Now, there's the whole universe involved in this. And it is important that we understand this. We are always talking about the procedures and the avenues of spiritual development and blessing, which are a byproduct of our Christian faith. And one of the greatest areas of ecclesiastical numbness is in their perception concerning what they're here for and what the spiritual forces and the grace of God is to do for them. But I want you to realize that we are not in a defeatist frame, because today we have watched an ecclesiastical betrayal upon the part of brainwashed clergy, with the hierarchies of religion supporting the very areas of destruction, or even marching with the Negroes and the beast system down the streets of our city. Well, we've heard the minds of those that should know more but are captivated by their associates support by decree the things which are in violation of divine law. So let me point out to you that there are some things that can never be destroyed. There are some facts that that God wants His household to know. And they're going to develop, and they're going to spread, and they're going to fill the horizon, they're going to challenge people. And it's truth that's going to make them free. The strange subtlety today upon the part of the enemy is to move in among those that constitute all the facets of God's kingdom. Now, the basic facets of God's kingdom have to start with the fountainhead, which is God. They seek to keep people, whether they understand it or not, or whether they are the tools of the enemy, confused about God. Then they want to keep people confused about His race. They want to keep the people, especially those that constitute portions of this, totally confused concerning their responsibilities. They want to obscure God's kingdom. And in the policy of doing all these things, there are those today, even among those that serve the cause, so-called. They're called patriots. They send out bulletins. They move in right-wing circles. But they do not want to recognize the fact that God has a race and He has a kingdom in solution being formed, which is the master strategy against the powers of darkness. Oh, they recognize the enemy. Not sometimes realizing they become the instruments of that enemy. They recognize the Luciferian darkness. They see the Illuminati. They understand that the Jews are in trouble. But they make no substitute when they take the Jews out of the picture of their warped theology. They don't have any Israel or kingdom to put back in. In the same instance, they will attack then those that understand the truth and seek to neutralize its impact. Now, I want you to know that what they do not know is the vastness of the program and what is involved, and they become instruments sometimes of the enemy. And anybody that has only part of the truth and then fights against the areas of God's purpose that he doesn't understand is an obstructor. It is important we crack through on every level to as many people as it is possible to break through to concerning who our race is, what our responsibility is, the part of our nation among the nations of God's kingdom. If you even talk favorably about the British Empire or about Germany or about any other white nation, there are some of these peanut brains that are trying to say, well, this isn't patriotism. Instead of independence, they're talking about unity. My friends, I'm going to tell you this afternoon, we better find a great solidarity with all white Christian nations against the powers of darkness for our survival. Not calling for the surrender of our independence, but that we stand side by side in this hour. Warped and twisted stories about the intended plans of enslavement. We disagree and we oppose whole areas in which foundations have tried to warp our youth, in which we have found all areas of political strategies that have been the dreams of men, and many of them in error and many of them without understanding. We do not support the strategy of the Rhodes Scholars, and we're totally opposed to the strategies of those that find their way into the foreign relations assemblies and groups. So let me tell you something. There are a lot of members of your race that have been caught in traps and who are intending to try to bring about a constructive accomplishment and don't understand what's taking place, and they'll never know until the truth gets out. I'm going to tell you one thing. There are a lot of people that you're going to have to recognize ultimately that God's going to put in place, and He's going to take out of their captivity, because all Israel shall be saved as it is written. That doesn't include one Jew, but it includes every Israelite. There are times when one can get stern at obstruction as they see the things that hinders areas of progress. And when you see some of these stupid people become the very tools of the enemy themselves to divide and to conquer, and about the time when these things would shake your faith in people or in accomplishment, then it is knowledge and truth that breaks through. You know that they are in captivity or bondage, or they have been deranged by individuals who are themselves warped, or they have been deranged by the intemperance of their own lives, or the numbing of their brains by the things they eat or drink. But something always affects or obstructs, or there wouldn't be any obstruction. Of course, one of the most deadly things is that we permit the enemy to come into our land. And having migrated here, we let him to move into areas of instruction to negate the minds of our youth inside of our schools, or to move into our churches and upset the status of the real truths of God. And one of the things we're going to learn one of these days, we're going to keep out eventually out of these United States and every other Christian nation, we're going to keep out everything that's against our faith and our God and our race. And we're going to throw out everything that's already on the inside that's against these three things. So I point out to you that there are certain things that men must understand. That we are not alone. The directivity and the power of God and the essence of His great universal consciousness that holds together the universe, that handles the smallest battery of energy units in all the universe to the largest expanse of the sidereal system, is doing it with knowledge. That the vastness of Father God, who is your Father and is not the Father of any other people but you, as a Father calling you His offspring. That He is the Creator, that He is the Maker, that He has put all things together and it is good. That He is activated and He is animated, the vastness of the intelligent as well as the lesser intelligent beings throughout His universe is true. But He is your Father. If you want a key to understanding, to mystery and understanding, it must break through this into your consciousness that you are the children of God. We are the offspring of God. God is our Father. Then when we understand that He's organized the entire physical universe, organizing out of invisible things, the video frequency, out of the energy of the electronic plane, that universe, the staggering vastness of it, from the smallest atom to the vast complex patterns of the sidereal system, is hard for us to actually cope with in our thinking all at one time, because we're kind of in a limited box down here. In fact, if you used all of the nerve tendrils in your brain and stored all the information that could be stored there, it would take you several lifetimes to digest the content and what we normally refer to. The greatness of God, the magnitude of His power, all of these things are important, but important to us now, more important than the organization of the heavens. Of course, we're quite interested in, as a race right now in the solar system. Some are even talking about the universe, but you don't have to worry about that immediately. We haven't conquered the solar system as yet. But you know, I can tell you that you can go through this book from one end to the other, and you will not find very much description about heaven. Did you know that? Now someone said, there isn't any. Oh, don't be silly. There's seven celestial planes and there are all these things. But this particular book is contained the revelations of God to a race and to a people relative to their existence in this planet to accomplish the purpose of our Father, of our family, and our heritage. Therefore, there is very little in this book which is descriptive concerning the heavens. Oh, there are scientific factors concerning various branches of the solar system and constellations in the heavens You'll find them in the book of Job, because he was so astutely aware of the things of the sky and of constellations, like Enoch, because of the revelations given them. But in general text, you'll find from Genesis to Revelation that most of the content of this book relates to earth and to God's plans for it. You say, well, there's a lot of things about heaven in the book of Revelation. There are statements concerning it, but most of the things that you'll find in Revelation are concerning things that are going to happen on the earth or have happened. They reach forward and backward, but it is the things that the knowledge and the wisdom of God's mind as a dimension of conscious existence was open to John, and he put it down just as he was told. He traveled forward and backward into its experience. There are a few things about heaven. The fifth chapter of the book of Revelation, there is one thing I think is kind of important. The fifth chapter, why John said, and I beheld the voices of the angels that were around the throne, and the elders. And the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 times thousands of thousands. That's a real important fact about heaven. And one that picks me up this afternoon when I look out at the opposition. Because I not only have a million times thousands of thousands times millions of millions, these are just the angels around the throne. I don't have to go up and put them in order, and I'm not even worried about them. I don't even pray for them, and I'm not disturbed about their destiny. But I like to know that we've got that kind of reinforcement around. I like to know that that same word is also referred to as living spirits, the ministering spirits. I know that there are orders of angelic hosts. I know that there are creatures that exist throughout the vastness of God's universe in the multiple trillions and trillions beyond any ability of my mind and yours to conceive, because you can't conceive a number greater than something you compared it with in what you have beheld. You can think of thousands, and you can think maybe 100,000. You can think of what you see when you see a Colosseum filled, or you can think of sometimes of greater numbers when you run a couple of handfuls of sand through your hands. You can't consider what's in the universe, because you can't see all the stars, or you realize that there's as many of them as there are grains of sand as well. So we become staggered sometimes, but the important thing is the key to this knowledge. The key to all the things you need to know. And when you understand this, you'll discover that it is a built-in process, and it is not for the enemy. Every once in a while someone says, I can't understand why these people are against us, why they don't understand. They haven't got the mechanics. They haven't the ability. They've already come under a process that has neutralized them in the ages past, and they are different from you. Let me point out that the thing we must continue to remember, that you as a people and as a race possess certain capacities that are not possessed by your enemies. And because of this, then, you can understand that the whole family of God in heaven and earth is named in the eternal name of Yahweh, Yahshua, or Christ. The most important point for you to know is that you're not like other races with a lot of gods. You have one God, and this is your Father. And there are some things they don't understand. I was kind of disgusted when I was looking in the Los Angeles Times, I think page 5 or 6, they were talking about some of the questions they're now asking federal employees, and that they are going to have to get some of them stricken out because they're objecting to them. And they ask them about sex, and they ask them about feelings and sensitivities, and they ask them if they believe this or that, and they're therefore paranoids, or they're to be considered as mentally not quite sound if they believe some of them. And one of the questions they ask them is, do you believe in the second coming of Jesus Christ? And if you do, of course, they got to take a look at you kind of asking. Let me tell you something. We are not only, we find here in 1 Timothy in the 6th chapter and the 14th verse, looking under the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, who in his time shall show that he is the blessed, only potentate, King of kings and Lord of lords, who alone is the author of immortality, dwelling in light which no man in the natural could approach. No man could see without the eyes of the Spirit. Now, what do we got here? We have the only potentate, King of kings, the Lord of lords, Jesus Christ, and one of the great foundation mysteries of our faith, and one of the great promises of our day, is that we look unto his appearing. Now, there are a lot of people that don't believe he's ever going to appear, and I can just write them off as being no asset in this hour. I want you to know that it is important for us to understand that there is one God, Father of all, above all, and in you all. Because your spirit of his spirit, your life of his life, you are his offspring, not in Africa, not in Asia. You can march a bunch of Missouri down the streets of Montgomery, Alabama, but you can't make people out of them. Now, what do you mean? I mean you, man, spirit man. You cannot make the offspring of God out of all the Negroes you march or all the edicts you proclaim. So it is biblical. It's just as biblical because they have no capacities to measure up to this. You cannot, by any mental hysterics or by any mental gymnastics, by big tents, powerful cathedrals, or all kinds of religious witchcraft, you cannot make the children of the Father out of those that are not his offspring. All the Talmud couldn't do it. All the Sanhedrin couldn't do it. Jesus said, I am my Father, you are your Father, and you can't understand what I said. And if you can't understand what God says, you're never going to come to him, and you're never going to be a part of his program until he makes some new miracle in the ages to come. I don't have to worry about the ages to come. I have to live for this one where I am by the instructions that the Father has given me for this day. And I tell you that the only instructions that you have for this day is found in the things that God has spoken unto your race in this earth for you to understand. Therefore, they're found in the Holy Scriptures, these and those that are not thus contained in this book. I point out to you that the reason why you go from one end to the other and you don't see very much about heaven is because you're not there, you're here. And the only place you're going to do anything that requires any instruction is here. So it says, well, suppose I die and my spirit goes to heaven. Then there's a whole lot of people who want to say it's not going there. It's not going anywhere. But it is. Absent from this body is to be present with the Lord, and the Lord's in the plane of spirit, and you will be there. The one reason why you don't have to have a big book of instructions concerning heaven is that in the dimension of spirit, there isn't any ignorance. And when you're in that plane, you're like he is, and you don't need to know any more than he does because there isn't anything else to know. We don't have to get men ready to go to heaven. I hear all the time somebody's preaching about getting people ready to go to heaven. You don't have to get people ready to go to heaven. You've got to get people ready to live on earth. The church's job isn't to prepare men for heaven. The church's job is to get men to live without sin. Sin's a violation of divine law. It's a byproduct of ignorance and captivity. So it says, you have perfect men then, and this isn't possible. Well, I speak to those that are perfect. So what do you mean? Well, it's what John said. Why perfect? Because the spirit resident in this body, that's the entity of you, this celestial being, is absolutely perfect. Every transgression you made in this body here in the earth. You never transgressed before. Any violation of divine law you ever committed, you committed in this body and on the earth. No place else. And when your desire to obey righteousness through understanding descends on you, you do what you want to do and you don't violate it. And I tell you that the key to knowledge, as it relates to divine knowledge, the important knowledge in the earth, is in the ability to receive and in the receiving set. This is one of the reasons why when we talk about the New Testament, we talk about the greatness of God, and we hear under the New Covenant that He made with our race, because the Old Testament was the Old Covenant, and the New Testament is the New Covenant. And the New Covenant is supposed to be even greater than the Old Covenant because it is a higher escalation of divine blessing and grace and knowledge in the earth. We talk about the grace of God. You know what the grace of God is? The grace of God is unmerited favor. The grace of God is all the things that out of His very heart He does for you because you're His children and He wants to do it. He does it, my friends, not because you can say, I lay claim to it because I've earned it. He does it because He wants to do it, because He intends to do it. This is grace. I listened to somebody rattling around on the radio the other day. It says we must forget the laws and the ordinances and all the things that are in the Old Testament because we're not under law, we're under grace. Well, the Apostle Paul, when he said you were not under law, you were under grace, was talking about your eternal salvation, the security of your well-being, the ultimate plans of God. But at no time did the Apostle Paul tell you to cast aside the instructions and the law of God. Jesus Christ made it very clear when he said, blessed is the man that teacheth the law to obey. You know that one of the greatest manifestations of the grace of God was giving the law to our household on Mount Sinai. That was grace. You are the only people He gave the law to. The Scripture tells us He didn't give it to anybody but Israel. So these knuckleheads that don't want to know who the house of God is and then want to claim all the promises that belong to somebody else better get together with their theology and their thinking in the Bible. The grace of God didn't give you a trial and error concept by which you had to go through in the areas of ethics and of social conduct and of agriculture and of economy and of the processes of symbolism and of worship. You didn't have to go through trial and error. It wasn't an evolution. It was a gracious gift bestowed upon you because you were His household in His kingdom. This was grace. Someone says, well, of course, God doesn't forgive in the Old Testament like He does in the New. If God didn't forgive in the Old Testament like He does in the New, you wouldn't even be here. If He didn't overlook your transgressions and add spiritual energy to your survival, the violations of law and the catastrophes enveloped your race would have wiped out long ago. God says, my grace, my mercies follow you still. Let me tell you this concerning the pattern of God's grace. We mentioned last week, and it's an important pattern. Noah found grace in the sight of God. He had grace back there, not only in the Old Testament, the patriarchal age. The end of the patriarchal age, Noah found grace. You want to know the key to knowledge? The key to knowledge is involved in an understanding that must possess you so it becomes a total feeling. So that it works through your subconscious as well as your conscious mind, and this is because God directs these ways of understanding to you, and if it wasn't directed to you, our race, you wouldn't even understand it. If it isn't directed to you, you will know what I'm talking about when you go out of here this afternoon. Let me point this out to you. Over here in the book of Matthew, again, off you, is because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them, the Luciferian households, revolution, war, and operation, it is not given. Hear this now. If God didn't send, by a process of His own personal predestinated directivity, the knowledge and grace of His purpose to you, you couldn't understand it, and He doesn't waste one iota of an attempt to send it to the enemy. You know, one of the great twisted patterns of what we think is evangelism is that we try to go all over and we try to take on the people we actually know are the enemy and we try to convert them to something that Jesus says they can't understand and I'm not going to give them the knowledge of it. That's why I think the most foolish thing in the world is Jewish missions. You want to know how to effectually waste God's money, put it in a Jewish mission. Someone said, oh, I know some great consecrated Jews. I do too, but they were working for the enemy. This depends on what they're consecrated for and who consecrated them. Someone said, well, you might make a mistake. You might leave a few out. Well, I'm willing to make that mistake and God can rectify it then. But I'm going to tell you, any mistake that I make on the basis of God's word, by accepting and imputing it to the condition, He's going to take care of. Because you'll never make a mistake on the Word of God. Now, unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom. The key passages in the book of Corinthians that tells you you are not of, like these natural men whose beast orders think out of the pattern of their senses and are totally controlled by Luciferianism, whose spirit is not the same as the spirit that dwells in you. I want you to understand that in this physical body, which is the physical progeny of the Most High, who intended when he brought forth your issue as his household, that it would be the dwelling place of the spirits of his family, who said therefore that this would be necessary, and then referred to you as the Elohim, and said that you are the children of Yahweh. When John said, I speak to the spirits of those that are perfect, he was talking about the fact that the spirits celestially begotten of incorruptible seed have never been corrupted, and they're still perfect. The spirit of every one of you, your celestial consciousness, is perfect. And you can't hurt it or destroy it with all the devil and his angels unless you can corrupt the incorruptible. And it is that holy seed that is the great responsibility and the great purpose that God's established from Genesis to Revelation for you to keep in a body capable for it to function in. It is because you are spirit of his spirit and the life of his life that he made laws governing the conduct of the body you live in and of the awareness of the consciousness that dwells here, so this kingdom could grow, could expand, could develop. You can't mongrelize this body by mutating the offspring and joining it to pagans and have a receptive set that can work for the spirit and for the consciousness. Let me tell you this. The moment you cross your race line, the moment you produce a new species or an abortion of evil by joining together this race with a Negro, then that posterity has no communication capacities to introduce the knowledge and the wisdom of the levels of God's wisdom. The first place is because the receiving set has been muted. The psychiatrists and the anatomists know today that there is a difference even in the brain tissue between the races. They know that there are structural differences, and if you don't know any more than the fact that there's a pigmentation distinction in the color of their skin, that shows they're different. Someone says, well, color is only skin deep, but that doesn't change the other physiognomy. It doesn't change the capacities, and it doesn't change the evidences of one thing. It wouldn't make any difference how much unscientific but muted concepts are suggested today concerning the peoples and their physical bodies. There's one thing that is quite evident, that there is something that God sends down that goes inside the skull and inside the entity of a being that makes the vast distinction between his intellect and his capacities that they can't receive. You say, well, I just don't know what part of the brain to find it in. Well, we could classify parts of the brain also, like the nerve centers of a third eye that sits in your head without an opening, without an eyeball, but it's there. But it does receive, and it does activate. It's one of the most active sets of ganglion nerves in your skull. Now you say, well, that exists in all species. Not exactly, no. And it doesn't get the receptivity, and it doesn't have it in any other race but yours. Now, the Apostle Paul tells us we understand the wisdom of God in a mystery. The kind of hidden wisdom that God before the world order ordained for your illumination, your glory, your power. God reveals these things unto us by his Spirit. The Spirit that knows, that is in a understanding of all the things that are known in the mind of God. Now we read this. Now, what man can know anything about man except that he is a man? And don't make any difference what kind of species he is. He knows as much as he can know about himself, according to his intellect. Now, I'm going to tell you, when you talk about a universe held together by spirit and governed by the energies of the mind of the Father, who sends his communications by spirit, then the natural man can never understand them, and the beast men can never understand them, and the lesser orders can never receive them, and they can never rule the kingdom of God as God intended to be ruled.
Listen. For the natural man cannot receive these things of the Spirit of God. They are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. What's the key? What's the key now to unlimited knowledge, the knowledge of all things? Spiritual understanding that the natural man cannot receive. Well, you say, well, everybody's a natural man, a spiritual man. Don't you believe it? Only your race are natural and spiritual men at the same time. And that, my friends, is not the same kind of natural men they're talking about. In other words, you are the only embodied people that are spirit of the spirit that can tune in on the mind of God.
Therefore, I want you to know that we have the mind of Christ, of a celestial children embodied in the physical body. This understanding is a part of the key to realization. We go back to this 14th chapter of John because of the key that's involved. When Jesus said, I'm going to send you, the Greek word is the paraclete. This is the intelligent knowledge, understanding, the very personal, internal knowledge of God. I'm going to send this knowledge to you, and when this knowledge comes, it will abide your consciousness forever. Even the Spirit of truth, which the world cannot receive. But now you can receive it. To do this, he says, my omnipresent entity of spirit will have to come unto you. I will come to you, and I will convey into the seat of your consciousness this knowledge. Happen when this spirit starts to make this connection in you for a renewing of your mind, for the things that you knew in the heavens now to be known in the earth, a renewing of your mind. What happens? It leads all things, brings all things to your remembrance. It leads you to the knowledge of all truth. When you say there's a great number of people that recognize Christ, a great number of people who have been renewed in their mind. My friends, they have blocked a lot of the renewing process as far as their conscious entity is concerned by permitting the barricades of propaganda and apathy to take hold of them. God will finish the task because the directivity that controls the universe cannot be withheld by the finity of a finite mind. Listen. No. This great statement over here in the 14th chapter of John concerning the fact that you can receive the Spirit of truth, but the world around about you cannot receive it. You turn over in the 15th chapter, the 27th verse, and he's still talking, the 26th verse, about the paraclete that shall come. I, as the Father, will send this unto you. It'll be I that will come unto you. Now, what about this? Even the Spirit of truth. And ye also shall bear witness again, because ye are they that were with me from the beginning. Beginning of what? Of the cosmos. How old are you? Some people say, well, we're trying to hide that. You know, we pass 50, 60, we don't want anyone to know it. In fact, nowadays you can't hardly tell how old a person is looking at them. You can't tell the mother from the daughter half of the time, see. I'm going to tell you it doesn't make any difference whether you're 40, 50, 60, 70, because there's not a person in here that isn't several million years old. How about that? And then this is an understatement. The Spirit in you was with the Father when the solar system was rolled out. So don't worry about a few years. They're unimportant. The most important thing is how alive do you feel? How much life vitality do you have? And that can be gauged also by spirit. And don't you think it can't? Because the spirit can sustain life. The body without it can't sustain it. And the spirit can renew your life. And the spirit can take away every spot and every wrinkle as it's going to do. And it's going to be a spiritual energy force like the light of the glory of God that shall move upon you, that shall make every one of you stand with eternal youth before the Father, before it's over. In that day that you're a nut, if you believe it, in the government service. Let me promise you this, that before we've gone through this short cycle that we're going through right now, there isn't going to be anybody working in government service that isn't looking for Jesus Christ. Now, of course, there's probably one agent here writing this down. Now, these people intend on seeing that no one but Christians run America. And this is antisocial. It's against the grand design, the great society that wants to embrace all kinds of religions and all kinds of people. I want you to know we are a total rebel against any satanic strategy in the areas of government. And we are 100% for nothing but a Christian-controlled, directed, and God-governed society. Took men like that to found this nation under God, and it's going to take men like that, my friends, to put it back. Listen. Therefore, we point out to you that you were a part of a family that existed in the celestial plane. We don't have a big, long lot of writing about that, because the important thing is to find yourself here. And then we tell you very clearly that when Noah found grace in the sight of God, the only reason why Noah wasn't wiped out and all his family with him in that upper Tarim basin, so there wouldn't have been anybody left. Oh, yes, everybody in the household of God wasn't living in that Tarim basin. But the household of pure line that God himself had selected and predestinated before the foundation of the world that he was going to be born out of in the earth, came right on down through the house of Noah. And this grace was this special energy of directivity, of knowledge, of understanding, of organization that God put in the mind of Noah. And the receiving set had to be right. Because you have to translate this into action. If your religion can't be translated into action and living, it isn't working. There's a short circuit in the set. I want you to know that Noah's father was right. And Noah's grandfather was right. And he was right on back down to Seth. How do you know? Because he was perfect in his generations. There were no mulattoes here. There were no grand design, great society organizers here. Perfect in his generations. And let this scotch for all time any BB brain clergy that want to tell you that Noah had three kinds of sons. He had three kinds of sons. Two of them later in their could have disobeyed. Two of them in their strain lines were not to carry down the race purity of the house of Shem. But he had only one kind of son, Ham, Shem, and Japheth. All white men, all with sensitivity, and their wives were all white too. Don't let someone say, one of them married a Canaanite wife, another one over here had a Chinese wife, and so forth. Let me tell you something, every one of these people were white people just like you. They never gotten on that ark to begin with if they hadn't. Because God was in the business of knocking off everything that he didn't want to survive. So he said, this is the most intense kind of racism. It sure is. It starts at a heaven level with an absolute determination upon the part of God. You know he did a good job in that flood. He knew exactly who he was going to spare out of that land. And as it was in the days of Noah, he's going to do a good job in this end sample. Now, of course, we know the devil can't understand the things of God, but he understands certain areas of it. He knows there's a struggle on. If he knew how much divine energy and how much spiritual force God was about to release into this nation, every last of them would make an application to get into a nation where the children of God didn't live. So, as Dr. Swift, the enemy is getting more violent, he's getting more drastic. There's liable to be some martyrs. He's going to try to take over by decree. He's going to try to warp men's minds. He's going to try to end the great liberties that belong to Christian nations. That may be. I'm going to tell you something else. God's going to so set on fire his people that they're going to cleanse the land, too. Cleanse the land. So I said, well, Dr. Swift, remember their strategies and their power. Everything these devils touch is going wrong.
Their assassination plot failed on the highway a few weeks ago, and they're in trouble because the whole country knows about it. Forces wanting to crush patriotism and attack patriots and find some way to smear them. Somebody fed them a line. Attorney General jumps prematurely in the state of California, jumps on an industrial plant and building machine guns out in the industrial city. Breaks the story that they were going to right-wing of the patriotic groups, and this would give him a lever because they're an illegal weapon under the Treasury Department. Names some organizations. Said all the other right-wingers, they were earmarked. I don't know how you earmark a machine gun, do you? I don't know how you earmark cattle, sheep. I don't know how you earmark a machine gun. Maybe you put a stamp on it, put somebody's name on it. The Attorney General of the State of California is just a liar. So they moved in on Friday, and they had it now. Here were the weapons, see? And they moved in on it, and they seized 373 of them and hauled them off down to the Sheriff's Department, stored them. Right-wing machine guns. They were about to be dispersed, the right-wing. Now we're going to move. But they better get together. This plant was licensed by the Treasury Department to make machine guns, and when they did this thing, they even exposed the fact that we were secretly building these machine guns for Puerto Rico so that anti-Castro patriots would be armed with these, with silencers, to move against Castro, and they let even that secret out of the bag when they moved. And now they have moved against a legitimately licensed plant, which was under the program in which the administrations and the communist branches of the State Department were in complete cooperation, and the things were on their rightful route, and they had some more to make before they liberate. And in their desire and their haste to try to get it, people that would defend America against all its enemies, they were going to smear them, and they were going to try to destroy them. They were going to probably plant these on them all over. I still watch night and day. I watch the fact that they don't plant a machine gun in my backyard or in my car. You watch this too, because these rascals are not beyond doing anything. So if you got anything against machine guns, no, it's just illegal to have them, so we don't have them. If it was legal, we'd have them. They're not now, nor those associated with us are not now, nor have they been gathering anything illegal. I'm going to tell you, the kingdom of God is so legal that when we do crack down, they're going to have to conform to law. Well, let me cite this. When I saw this morning they've created an international incident, Costa Rica's complaining to the State Department, the State Department's all the dither, the Treasury Department gave him a license, and the Attorney General, trying to satisfy the schmooze around this country, has made a mistake. You know, they built concentration camps. They had them out here on the islands. They set them up in several places. They were going to gather all the right-wingers up and put them in concentration camps. They were a menace to the kingdom. You know what a right-winger is? It's somebody that believes God. Some of them believe God more than they understand. You know, if every extremist, as they like to call them, that's a right-winger, knew what I'm talking about in this book concerning their family, their destiny, the kingdom of God, and what this contains, and what white nations are here for, if every one of them understood that, you'd never stop. You're not going to stop anyhow, because God's going to see they do know it. You know that your tapes have reached across more movements and across more denominational lines to get the truth of God and the knowledge of God into the minds of men? Do you know once they understand it, they start to feel this thing is something that they're conscious of all the time, even without having to specially think about it? And once this charges you, you're constantly on the receiving end. You know, there is an essence that God sends, just like the particles of light, just like the substances of spirit. There is an essence of knowledge dimension that God sends. For God is spirit, soul, and body, and the soul consciousness is the entity of conscious existence. God sends knowledge. He sends it with a charge to make it work, to make you apply it. That's why over here in the book of Hebrews, we are told that faith is the substance. Is the substance. People talk about their faith. They think that
It's an idea they have. But this is more than this. This is an idea in operation. This is the substance of tomorrow's history. And I read here in the book of Hebrews concerning it in the pattern of this mystery of God. I read that it is the substance. Therefore, now faith is the substance of the things that are hoped for, and it is the evidence of things that are not seen. The spiritual powers put it together. They make history. They make form. It is the substance. It moves from God to your mind and doesn't move to the mind of one single peg. How many times have you looked at this big city and says, how can it take? When you stop to realize all that flows in and out of it that must be consumed, when you realize all of the industries and all of the things that are going on here, and it has to be coordinated, and there's not a man in this city, and I know it's not the mayor, and surely not Jimmy Roosevelt smart enough to coordinate it. Do you know that this whole vast breathing city has to have more grace to run on than the people have ever understood? There has to be a subconscious directivity to start to coordinate this thing. There's only two forces in it. One's out of the kingdom and the other's out of the enemy, and the enemy just doesn't put things together constructively. Now, fortunately, there is enough staying power that God has held back as the mystery of iniquity would fulminate among every last one of the beast system in this city. But God has restrained it. They don't know this. They have an inherent fear for divine law, of the law of the society, even though they were part of the conspiracy to destroy it. If God withdrew that restraining fear from off of the beast system in this city, this thing would be the worst jungle you ever saw in one great catastrophe upheaval in the next 10 minutes. The only people fit to live in this city without that kind of restraint are the children of God. Understand this now. You say, well, why are you not afraid to come in and out of the city? Because I know my Father will restrain enough until He is ready for judgment. And when He has decided that the time has come for judgment, He will remove enough. So I have confidence in both the restraint and the removal. I have confidence in His grace and in His judgment. I point out to you then that you are filled with this process. This city has to live by faith, whether it knows it or not. This is the substance of things they can't see. And this is true of every great concentration of energies and peoples and thoughts. You say, how is it done? If He can hold all these atoms together, He can send enough pulsations into the mind of His children and enough of the areas of restraint, even down into the areas of the very electrons that surround and move around the tendrils of the knowledge of people. So I tell you that you must understand that just as all knowledge, all wisdom, all vision flows into the consciousness of the Spirit and is activated by the Spirit itself, which makes these things known, that the Father, who said, I have predestinated these things from before the foundation of the world, and those I've called, and those I've justified, and there wasn't any mistake about it. He's got a perfect record, and your name was written in that before the foundation of the world. And the most important key that you can know today is that you must become consciously and continually consciously aware that you must preserve the receptivity of the set. That you must stand in total advocacy of absolute race purity. You must stand in total separation of the kingdom from every pagan and false concept, and you must repudiate every individual that would suggest there is any other God but the one and only potentate, King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. This is your Christian charge. So we got a lot of politicians and high influential advisors that don't believe in this even at the Washingtonian level. Then it's your job to see that we don't have them long, that they're impeached or removed, or that the nation's cleansed. But make this your commitment. It shall be God's standards, no less. For you're not satisfied with it. So it says, of course, we are citizens in a nation that's been set up on a different standard than this. It said that everybody could come here and everybody could worship who they wanted to. Never said anything like that. That's what they're trying to tell you. It says that they change it right now. This nation was a nation born under God. We are falling fast into the abyss of darkness, despair,
and socialism when we don't enforce this law. And God says, I'm going to shine a light down to the hole you're dropping in, and I'm going to bring the children of light up out of it, and we're going to take over and rule.
Let me cite to you this. There is no way that the enemy can stand before the contents of Thus Saith the Lord. So I said, well, they don't pay attention. They say you're crazy. They always said that Christians were crazy. You know that?
The devil, in his materialism, has always said people that are motivated by the Spirit of God in their consciousness, he says they're crazy. Peculiar people.
Let me tell you something. Anybody that falls for a liar like the devil that's never kept his word, they really are crazy. Because the devil's a liar, a father of liars, he's never kept his word, he never tells the truth, they even fall out with one another, and don't you think they don't? Someone said, all Christians always stand together like the devil's people. Let me tell you something, the devils kill one another for power. Look what they've been doing in Russia and everywhere. In fact, they even kill people of your race for power here. There isn't any such thing as solidarity and evil. There is just evil that so dominates individuals under the Luciferian pressure that by their sheer weight of satanically activated numbers they plan on taking over. And I'm going to promise you this. They don't know how. We haven't time to finish this subject, but we're going to talk to you tonight on why evil must fail. We'll have more to say about this transmission of wisdom next week. We want you to know that as far as God's concerned, you've got to understand that you're the receptivity of spiritual revelation, of directivity that can even start changing your mind when you didn't know you were going to change it. That can call out a sheep by name when the sheep didn't know he was going to be called. Because God is sufficient. When he said all Israel, he meant all Israel. When he eventually says all flesh, he means all flesh. When he says that he's going to make this appearing, the all-wise potentate, King of kings and Lord of lords, he's coming. I'm going to tell you that the moment they start asking people questions to seek to attack their reliability in government because they believe in the second coming of Jesus Christ, it's time for us to clean house in Washington, D.C. We're going to speak tonight on the subject of why evil must fail. I'll be speaking Wednesday night in the Bible class in Lancaster. Come if you are interested in this question and answer period and into these things which we do not have all the opportunity to cover sometimes that you might like to know in the messages they go forth. Do not forget, next Friday night, let's see this auditorium filled. We're living in vital hours. The things are of great importance that are happening round about. They have a relationship to our history, to our destiny, and to God's plan. Let's pack this place Friday night as we discuss the blueprints of world events. We'll be speaking next Sunday afternoon on a continuation as we talk to you the source of intelligence, wisdom. Now, as we take this offering, you say, we hear this, and this is true, you do hear it. You hear it in repetition. When we tell you we need your tithes, we need your offerings, we need your sacrifices to get over this nation with the gospel of the kingdom and the work of the church. Your tape coverage is larger than it has ever been before, and it's growing steadily week after week. And we urge you to hold up our hands and to everyone who is in the tape areas of reception, to those that play them to their neighbors, to those that play them in their lodges and their groups, to all the patriotic groups, to all the right wing, to all the churches and to all the congregations and to all the people in the mountains and out in the plains in small gatherings. We want your tithes, your offerings to reach more like you, to help continue to send tape, to help spread it. Because never have we had such a need to get over this nation with speed, to keep everybody in communication concerning the purposes of the kingdom and what the enemy plans to do and what God will not let him finish.
We need your activity because you're in the earth. Here's where you live. Here's where you're working. Here's where you must be informed. Here's where you must know, thus saith the Lord, for this land for today. So we want your tithes and we want your offerings to help meet this expense that rolls around week after week and gets bigger week after week. So as we take your tithes and offerings with your dedication and your stewardship, you demonstrate it as you help reach people with truth. You can't outgive God, and God's got a covenant with you. And God will keep that covenant. Almighty and eternal Father, look thy blessing to rest upon this congregation. Bless this offering. Multiply it to the purpose of carrying forward the gospel of thy kingdom, the work of thy church.